is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Oh my gosh, welcome back.
Hey.
It's Bran, and I love BET Christmas movies.
I'm Dan, and I despise BET Christmas movies.
I'm Alonzo, and based on my limited experience, this one is not particularly indicative of BET Christmas movies.
And this is
the Deck the Hallmark podcast. Hi, everybody. Another Monday, another journey. That's me taking the rowboat.
Are you rowing?
I'm rowing to another network.
That's right.
For a Christmas movie.
Alonzo, based upon your intro, how many BET Christmas movies have you seen?
I've seen about a half dozen.
Really?
They don't churn out the volume that, like, you know, Lifetime and Hallmark do, but they, for the last couple of years, they've definitely sort of been laying groundwork as being, you know, a player in this field. And the ones that I have seen before now, I think, fall more into the kind of what we would traditionally expect in a Lifetime and Hallmark one. And this one, we'll get into why this one is maybe a little different.
little bit.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, Shaylee Rose, starred.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. She talked about it when she was on our show.
Yeah.
How much fun she had making the movie.
Well, this movie premiered the same week as Christmas Duet.
Really?
Oh, wow.
I looked it up. Yeah. So she was busy that year.
Yeah, she was. Really, for sure.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Well,
Christmas Duet was unfortunate.
My knowledge of
it's fine.
Sorry. What did we say in the book?
I remember being higher on it probably then than I am now, but just because I thought the leads were good.
Yeah, it has its problems, but it has, you know, the song is good.
The song is good.
Songs in there.
Song's good.
I love me some. Of course, now her name is. Flown out of my head when I said, but the woman who plays the, like, hotel critic in that movie, one of my favorite Hallmark character actresses, and I'm so embarrassed that I'm forgetting.
Is it Terrell Rothery?
It is Terrell Rothery. Yes.
There it is. I'm here to help, Alonzo. When you need a name, you just let me know.
I appreciate it. I am, you know, I'm getting to that age. Christmas Duet has some stuff in its
a
favorite.
Christmas Duet. I said a big fan plus an original song I actually loved.
Yeah.
Panda said, really enjoyed the plot. They can both sing the lights out. And Dan said, a lot going for, a lot going against. So that sounds like, you know, most.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's Christmas Duet. My knowledge of BET Christmas movies is limited. I feel like it's a newer venture for them. Like, right, 2017, 2018 is when they kind of started to throw a few out there. Is that correct?
As far as I can tell, yeah, I'm not the last word on this, but that's my impression. Yeah.
Are they still doing it? Did they do anything last year? Did it get shut down for COVID? Or
I think they might have had a couple last year, but I think that this is sort of an ongoing thing. And like, some of them are like straight acquisitions, but some of them are, I think, generated by the network. And I believe there is one woman who's directed several of them. And so, you know, they're getting into this playing field for sure.
This is a Mar Vista joint. Did you know the Christmas setup is a Mar Vista joint? Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
In what role they have, but the only, I was on Mar Vista's website today, and it's under their catalog of movies that they claim.
Wow.
So I don't know if it's a Mar Vista joint or if they helped fund or whatever.
So it's a Mar Vista joint in some form or fashion.
Yes.
Here I was thinking I had yet to see a Mar Vista movie I liked, but if they did Christmas setup, then I guess
They claim it on their website. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to say. They claim they're a fascinating company that I want to know more about at a later date. Holiday Heist, you guys ready?
Let's do it.
It originally aired on BET on November 19th, 2019, and it went a little something like this. Meet Jade Holiday. She runs, helps her family jewelry store happen. Her father kind of runs it. She's helping it, chug along. And they have a big holiday display that they call the Holiday Jewel. The company is struggling, so they decide to launch a website after Jade's brother gives his dad a quick lesson in what is a website. The website can't come soon enough because the company owes $73,000 by Christmas Day. Just kidding. December 27th.
Yeah, you got it.
Jade has a boyfriend named Preston. Jade has a boyfriend named Preston. He is a police officer, and they have been going out for a while. She's wondering if he's going to pop the question and also wondering what she'll say if he does. She's not sure. Is he Mr. Right? We then meet a guy named Devin who is back in town, apparently owes some money to some guys that he had a previous business with. He wants to leave his robbing days behind him, but he agrees to one more job basically to pay off what he owes, and then he's out of here. Just so happens, the job is to steal the holiday jewels. So he goes by the store and ends up walking out, not with the jewels, but with a job. Then he helps the dad bring the Christmas tree home, so he's just getting close to this family right out of the gate. And naturally, he catches Jade when she's trying to put the angel on the tree. He literally catches her. It's a classic. Turns out that Jade is really passionate about fashion and not so much about jewels. And one night, she's hanging out with Devin, and he's like, you should go for it. You should do what you love. The next night, Preston's like, you should not do what you love. You should be my wife and be a mom. Jade and Devin are both crushing it at work. They're selling all the things, and they end up going out for hot dogs one night after work, and they get to watch a guy that they sold a ring to propose. It's a wonderful moment. They record it on social media, and then he kisses her on the cheek, and she smiles. Preston shows up, and he's leaving. Preston shows up as he's leaving, is what I'm trying to say, and he's not happy that Devin keeps hanging around. Devin then discovers that Jade's brother RJ is wrapped up in the same bad crew that he was, and he wants to help. So he tells the boss to leave him out of it, and he finds out, listen, I'm not just going to have you steal the jewels, then I'm also going to steal the credit card information, then I'm also going to break into their store bank account. Boy, what a deal. The store has had an amazing holiday season. The dad is able to wire transfer to pay off the debt before the holiday, which is amazing. At the holiday party, Devin wants to tell Jade the truth about who he is. Can't find the right time, seeing as how, you know, I gotta go steal the jewels. Preston ran a background check on him and nothing shows up, but still don't have a good feeling about him. The party's going on, and they get a call that the store is broken into, and the holiday jewels are gone. We then see RJ. He's with the big boss man, and he's about to give him the credit card information. Devin runs in and is like, stop it right there. I have the jewels, but I hid it. And the only way you'll get it is if you let RJ go, and I'll tell you where they are. And he's like, no, not happening. And he's like, well, you forced my hand here. Here come the Russians. The Russian mob gets involved. He brings RJ to his family. They tell the truth about what RJ's been doing, who he actually is. The jewels are safe. We gave him fake credit card information. You know, all that good stuff. They then tell Devin to get out of here, you liar. But the next day, Devin shows up and tells the dad who he really is and that he really is passionate about the jewelry business. Dad fires Jade, tells her to pursue her dreams. Then Preston shows up and proposes, and she says, thanks, but no thanks. Then Devin shows up, gives her a book about fashion and a box with a bunch of business cards in it, and he says, goodbye. And she decides, after some thoughts and some words of wisdom from dad that's trying to marry his daughter off, hey, you gotta go find this guy. So she runs to the hot dog stand where all good guys hang out by themselves at Christmas, and tells them, hey, you get to keep your job, and also you get to keep me. They kiss, they smile, and the family looks on and applauds. And that, my friends, was the holiday heist.
We did it.
That's exactly right.
No,
I'm sorry.
Just holiday heist.
It's just holiday heist.
Just a holiday heist.
How would you just describe it?
Holiday heist.
Holiday heist.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll break this movie down. There's a lot to it.
Oh, there is. There's
a lot to it. So we'll get to all of that stuff here on Deck the Hallmark. We're back.
Great.
I think we are, and I think we shall. We're talking Holiday Heist, BET 2019. Can't wait to break this movie down. I think we should start with a hot take, share how we felt about this movie. Alonzo, first of all, had you seen it? And second of all, what do you think about it?
This was a first timer for me.
Right.
Wow. this movie is sort of like if a Lifetime movie from any other time of the year had somehow merged with a Lifetime Christmas movie, because, okay, fine, I get the struggling store, and we want to preserve the neighborhood, and, and that's all fine, and this is very familiar territory. But, like, Russian mobsters guns and, like, the description of there being blood everywhere, I'm like, what? I'm sorry, what? So, yeah, this movie veers off into some weird territory that we don't generally get. Like, even in other BET movies, I think, are pretty straightforwardly, like, you know, doing a Hallmark Lifetime formula. This was just like, whoa, okay, we're gonna incorporate this, and it's not necessarily gonna be done all that well. Lots of wait, what's about, you know, the diamonds and the crime and everything else.
Everything.
I will say that, you know, Shaylee Rose is a pro. She's good at this kind of stuff. She and Tobias Trulian, who plays Devin, they have some nice chemistry. But there's a lot in this movie that is just like, what's even happening here?
I loved it. I loved it. I was, you know, I was watching this movie with my wife, and to Alonzo's point of it being a good bit different, I was watching this with my wife, and we're about halfway through, and she's like, so what are you watching this for again? I was like, Deck the Hallmark, babe. It's my job. I loved it. I thought it was a blast. I had an absolute blast with this movie, and we'll get to it in the next segment, but it's been a hot minute since I have had a tear roll down my cheek, and this movie provided it, and I'll get to it in a little bit. Wow. Yep, it's true. No. Guys, I don't know what to tell you. Just love me.
Russian mob?
Just love me for who I am. Love me for who I am for once. I love this movie. I thought it was a blast. Dan.
So if I had a quote on the DVD box for Holiday Heist, it would be that one word, entertaining. You know what I mean? Because if you expanded the sentence any more, it would be like, this is just the most entertaining mess of a movie I've ever seen. Like, there is a lot happening. Like, we to give Hallmark garbage all the time for just nothing happening for long stretches. Not in Holiday Heist. No, they have got some plot for you. Would you like some plot? Because they got it. Do you want a love triangle? Yeah. Do you want a guy who's a security guard that just shows up sometimes? Absolutely. Do you want jewelries on display? Yes. Do you want a heist? Yes. Do you want credit card numbers? Do you want a Russian mob? Do you want all kinds of things in this movie? A gala, a dance. Absolutely. This movie has it. It is just peppered with things. Just all of the things are in this movie. It was wild to hear as much PG-13 language as I heard in this movie. I actually felt like it fit really well. I did, like, initially I was like, oh, they're gonna cuss some. Okay.
Not my hoopla.
But I was on board for that. I felt like that, like, I was like, man, Hallmark should try to incorporate some of this. That's not going to win over any fans from Dan. But that, like, that was interesting. There's a lot of crime in the film. There's just a lot. There's a lot going on. Most of it makes very little sense. But I was entertained. I did keep my eye on the movie the whole time. Now, there's a lot of forms of entertainment. This was one of them. It's not going to clear any quality bar, but it was a type of entertainment for sure.
Let's get to all the feels. It's part of the show. We talk about what in this movie gave us feels. Alonzo, any feels to be had for you?
You know, it's funny. I did get a bit of a feel by the fact that maybe this is the reason why we don't usually go here in these movies, but, you know, they go to the bad guy criminal hideout, and there is not a single Christmas tree in that room. And you just don't have that in these movies. A room that is not festooned in one way or another is like, what?
I love the fact that you got to say on this podcast, they go to the bad guy's hideout.
You know what? I like to think that even the bad guys have Christmas trees. So that kind of bummed me out.
They don't.
I know. That bummed me out.
This isn't a normal bad guy who just wants to buy the local, the small town bakery. This guy has guns and stuff. Like, he's an actual bad guy.
Well, like, indeed. Still holly jolly, right? Like, we can work it in.
No, he is just a murderer.
It's unfortunate.
I think this is, and this is the thing we talked about with Sugar and Spice Holiday. This is a movie where the idea of race is actually acknowledged.
That's right.
And talked about at times, which even in like when Hallmark or I'd say Lifetime for the most part, you know, does a thing like, hey, look at our diverse cast. It still operates in this bubble in which the notion of race is not a thing.
Correct. So
like, I appreciated the fact that that's at least acknowledged. I don't know if this is a feel or a wait what, but I definitely, there's a drinking game in this movie.
Yep.
Every time the dead mother is mentioned.
Oh boy.
Because she is mentioned at least once per scene.
You won't make it to the Russian mob if you play that drinking game.
Holy moly. Like, I know with these movies, like, you know, if you have a lead with two living parents, that's a spot on the bingo card. But like, dead mom, every, and like, oh, she would have loved this. Oh, it's not the same without, like, it just, it's insane how every conversation can be brought back to that magnetic north. It's like, it's a feat in this movie. It's crazy.
I'm ready for it, Brian. Shoot me with it.
I am a sucker for old people getting a chance at love.
Oh boy.
Okay. So when, you know, throughout the movie, there's this, you know, the dad, and there's a woman named Camille who makes amazing maple glaze
cookies.
That's right. Yeah. And everyone's freaking out about them. And everybody's kind of like, she's great, Dad. And he's kind of like playing it cool. He goes into her shop. They have a really sweet moment. The reaction that he gives when she shows up for Christmas day dinner, I loved it. There was just a childlike excitement about the fact that she was here. And it brought a tear to my eye. I loved it. I love older people getting their shot at love. I love this dad. And I love that Camille came over for Christmas dinner. And so you did it, BET. Congrats.
Congrats. Mine was about the dead mother, but it is the... would normally be a wait what in any other circumstance, but in this movie wasn't all the feels. They put the tree topper on first in this movie. And it's like... like everything in me as someone that, you know, when you decorate the tree, you just, that's the last thing you do. I think we're all on board there. Like, no, you don't. You got to hide the lights. Do wrapping the lights around up there. You can't. But they say, hey, it was mom. Mom would always say, it's my tree, my house, my rules, or whatever she says. And so they do that to honor her. And I thought that was great. I thought it was really cool. And that they follow through with that, even though it makes no sense. They explain it well in the movie. And that really worked for me. That was a cool tradition that in watching hundreds of these, I've never seen before. So congratulations, Holiday Heist. That was fun. There you go. And to your point, the lived in, like, actual race acknowledgement in the film is wonderful as well.
Yeah, I thought. I mean, I enjoyed the history of both those things being taught in this movie. I thought it was really good. Let's take one more quick break. We'll come back and then we'll have fun. You're at Deck the Hallmark.
Buckle up.
Yep. Let's do this.
Let's do it.
We're back. Holiday Heist. And we are here with the Wait What. It's part of the show. We talk about what in this movie minutes go. Wait what. We will see if there's enough for us to go around.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. Alonzo, kick us off, pal.
Whew, okay, so the credits aren't even over yet, and we are introduced to the Royal Jewels from the Tower of London. All right.
This is the gargantuan wait what
first
elephant in the room.
All, yeah, like those jewels came out of the bottom of a cereal box. Like they are not anything that look remotely majestic or fabulous. And then, all right, so this small neighborhood jewelry store manages to get this, like, very
three cases of jewels.
Yes, traveling exhibition of jewelry for which they have hired one security guard.
Part-time, who
gets to attend the gala at the end of the movie because no one's paying any attention to anything. So that's already, like, a giant thing on this movie of, like, that's the MacGuffin of this film. We're supposed to care about these jewels and nobody better steal them, but let's not do anything to prevent
that. The real bad guy in the movie is whomever decided to let a neighborhood jewelry store put these on display. Like, This isn't a museum. Like, this is just a neighborhood jewelry store.
Yeah, and it's not even like, oh, you know, we're putting it up at the Macy's downtown. No.
No.
This little, yeah. And it doesn't seem to draw in any foot traffic. You never see the store being pretty crowded, or like people who are like looky-loos are just there to buy stuff. And yeah, like, I want to know, like, what was it? What were their insurance premiums like that month? Like, there's just so many unanswered questions with that one. She is Jade. But did you notice, by the way, that the wife's name, the dead mom's name is Jewel and the daughter's name is Jade? It's like, yes, it's a jewelry store business. We get it. Yes. So Jade and the cop are having a conversation about, you know, their impending marriage. And they get into this whole thing about that she's not sure if she wants kids and that she wants to commit to her career and all this other stuff. And I'm like, y'all have been engaged for years or verging on engaged for years, and this is the first time we're having this conversation?
Yeah.
Like, that was seemingly out of nowhere.
No,
like,
time was put into those two being believable as a couple. No, zero.
For all the movies we see where people fall in love insanely fast and very, like, you know, move to the next level on a ridiculously quick level, this is the reverse of that, which is like, y'all would have talked about this at some point before now. When the son of the jewelry guy, Jade's brother, RJ, is giving an excuse about, like, where he's been, because he's actually been out doing crime things, and he has some line about, like, oh, I had some computer code. It's just like the worst excuse ever. Like, and of course, the dad, who didn't know what a website was, I guess,
classic, buys
it. But it's like, dude, you've got to up your excuse game. Yeah, all the crime stuff is bonkers, because Devin does steal the jewels, but he hides them so it's okay, so he never gets arrested for it. And then the other bad guys get killed by the Russian mobsters, who also include the developer who wants to take out the neighborhood. Like, there's a lot.
The landlord is in the Russian mob.
Yes.
We didn't even get like that. Like,
yeah.
We didn't even get there yet. Yeah. We're hearing, wait, what?
The landlord is
in the Russian mob.
Which, by the way, doesn't need to be.
No.
There's no, no. There was no need for it.
At all. Zero.
Usually, if you just based on mob movies that I've seen, if you have worked your way up to that level of legitimacy, you don't then go to the guy's, you know, shifty hideout and, like, you know, guns a-blazing. Like, you have other people do that for you.
I want to be clear. Not only does the landlord not need to be in the Russian mob, it is to his detriment, because he is stealing the credit card numbers that he thinks are from the customers. He's doing harm to a business that's paying him rent.
Right, but that he's trying to close out anyway.
Yeah, he's trying to close them out.
Develop the neighborhood. Right.
I just love that he's the landlord. The landlord's in the Russian mob, but he's the type of Russian mob landlord that gives the jewelry store the entire holiday season to make up the money.
That's right, yeah.
He says, you know what would be a good time to pay it back?
He's tough, but fair.
I do want to give you ample time. I want to give you the busiest season of the year for you.
That's right.
And if it works out, great. That's great. That's great.
Tough, but fair. You say what you want.
December 27th actually felt like, okay, that's a sort of an acknowledgement of what the world looks like. And not just like, it has to be Christmas morning. You
know? I was mid-eye-roll and he said 27th and I was like, okay, all right, fair,
okay, move
fair.
It. Okay, move
fair.
Okay.
any more, Alonzo?
That's what I got.
You know, you mentioned Jewel, the mom, and Jade. You know, Jade, I will give a pass. You know, the two parents are in the jewelry store business.
Yes.
They love jewels. Jewel married into this business.
That's right.
What are the odds of a guy who owns a jewelry store, it's been in the family business forever, happens to marry a woman whose name is Jewel? At first, I thought, Jewel, it's her business.
No,
it's her parents. No. She
it's
married
his.
Into that sucker.
Her first name's Jewel, married into Holiday, last name, jewelry store owner.
There is a very
middle
lucky.
My name's Noel.
Yeah, very, very lucky.
Christy Lemire's husband's name is Chris. I give her grief about that all the time.
Wow.
She married him anyway. So.
Wow. Unbelievable.
I would just lovingly push back on the notion that the best hot dog in Chicago is a temporary stand by an ice skating rink. I'll lovingly push back against it. I just have a hard time believing.
You don't know.
I don't know, but I just have a hard time believing that the best stand in Chicago is a temporary one by an ice skating rink.
Was the first name of that stand Marshall something? It was M-A-R-S-H, and then they were blocking the rest of it. And I desperately want to know what it is.
Marshall's Hot Dogs.
Marshall's Dog.
But I also have a hard time believing that that hot dog stand also is open Christmas morning.
Oh, yeah.
To get himself a lonely hot dog.
That's right.
Marshall, no one gets Marshall's Hot Dogs better than Marshall. Marshall knows when people are going to be
Marshall
there.
Marshall the
farmer. Christmas Day, that's exactly right. Listen. They came up with a plan, RJ and Devin. And the plan that they decided to go with was, we will give the Russian mob fake credit card numbers.
Yeah.
That was their plan.
Yeah.
That is a bad idea on so many levels.
That is the landlord.
Blowback on that one.
Yeah. The only thing that I can figure
they're
is
they're going to get a knock on the door on the 27th.
I was about to say, there's a stinger at the end of this movie where they all get shot because he's going to go home and he's going to be like, these are all fake.
Where's
the jewelry store? Where are the holidays at?
Did they?
And
call,
he comes in and he's like, happy holidays. And that's the end of the movie.
Yeah. Did they call Preston and tell him to come and arrest? Like, is that why they felt safe doing the credit cards?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's wild. That's a bold move.
You also have to be banking on the fact that they're going to murder everybody in the room so that they'll have plenty of time in jail. It was a bold choice is all I'm going to say. And my last one is also about Preston. Preston is in Chicago. He's going to propose to his girl, but he insists on doing it outside.
Yeah.
She invites him in to the warmth Christmas morning. No, it's okay. I'll do this right here in the cold of Chicago Christmas morning.
Bitter cold.
Interesting decision by my boy Preston.
Yeah. I did notice that you could see their breath at the end of the movie, and you certainly could not at the beginning of the movie.
It's a cold front. The cold front came through. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. That's Chicago for you, man. It's your big swings.
By and large in this movie, there are a lot of really good performances, and then there's RJ. Boy, I don't know what's going on with that character, but first, he must have missed the week of lip-syncing training in whatever acting school he was in. The lip-syncing in this movie is atrocious. He's supposed to be this great singer. Oh my goodness, go and watch those scenes. He's not even hitting the marks. Like, it's not even close what's happening in those scenes. I was just completely taken out of the film when he was lip syncing.
They couldn't find somebody who could act and sing. So, you know.
Those people don't grow on trees, I can tell you that.
Yeah, hell, where are you going to find one?
No, and then second of all, RJ is making a deal with this, you know, sub-criminal, and he gets a envelope of $5,000, and he's just waving it around like he's selling tickets outside of the Bulls game. Just get that money and put it away, like, immediately. Like, I've not had much experience with that, but if you get an envelope with a stack of cash, don't wave it around like you're, you know, flagging down NASCAR. Like, don't do
Charlie
it.
Charlie just found his golden ticket.
You know? That's right. Yeah. He's like, I did it, guys. I got the money. It's right here. The money, you know. But not to be outdone, Preston's character, and I want to get this straight, is a detective or police officer in Chicago. And his big idea is he's going to run a background check on a guy named Devin Reynolds. And all he has is Devin Reynolds. Now, Devin Reynolds is a common name. Look it up on Facebook or Google. But he calls the precinct and orders a background check on Devin Reynolds like he's ordering a number two at McDonald's. He just is like, yeah, there's got to be only one of these Devin Reynolds out there. Do I have a social? Heck no. Just run it. Run the dang thing. It'll come up, I promise. Devin Reynolds. And run a John Smith while you're at it. Like, what does he think is going to happen in a city of millions of people if you run a background check on a very common name? It's not going to lend you anything.
Well, Preston has his ways. Preston has his ways.
Yeah, I guess.
Devin, you got a middle initial?
No, nothing. Just Devin space Reynolds. It'll come up. Don't worry. Also, speaking of proposals, there's another proposal in this movie that happens on the ice. And God bless them, neither actor can skate. And it's a weird scene because you have a proposal and both of these people cannot skate. So imagine, like, not knowing how to ice skate and your partner not knowing how to ice skate and still going, you know where I'm going to propose? On the skating rink. That's what I'm going to do. So they wobble out there. He gets down on one knee, and she's literally trying to balance as they show this proposal. And I just, for the life of me, do it anywhere else. Do it anywhere else where they don't have to like balance on skates.
But that's where the best hot dogs are. And so I don't know what you want from him. He's doing the best he can.
If she's terrified of like standing erect, then like maybe the children say, yes, yes, fine, sure.
Yeah, just give me off the skates immediately. And then lastly, you owe $73,000 in back pay on your mortgage in like 10 days-ish. There is no world where you're hiring another employee. I'm sorry. Like, this guy has studied deep into Keynesian economics. If he's like, you know what we do here in this situation? More payroll. That's what we do. That's the key to this.
And you know what?
Not another security guy.
No, not another security guy. But here's the thing is, it also doesn't pay off because they act like these two are selling like gangbusters. But the reality is that the online store is responsible for all the uptick because they're like, hey, who's selling more? And then the dad goes, well, sales are up 50% total. So track with me if you can. Sales are up a total of 50%, but the online website is outselling both salespeople. So if the sales are up 50% and the online website is outselling both of them, then that is responsible almost completely for the increase of sales. It was completely unnecessary to hire another salesman.
You know, so if we're up 50%, at least half of that is got to go to the online because
more than that.
Because the two of them, they're
what
split
I'm saying
basically.
Is if you take how much he brought in and then you subtract what you have to pay him, I bet you he did not help you. That's what I'm saying over the course of those 10 days.
My thought, though, was $73,000 didn't seem like a lot of money for a jewelry store during the holiday season to make.
Well, you got to clear that in a store that small. It has to be a bunch.
Just get one.
But I mean, the jewelry costs money. It's all profit. I mean, sure. In 10 days, if you're making $7,000 a day with just basically three glass cases, you're doing it.
Yeah.
We got to go to the jewelry business is what we got to do.
Well, we haven't considered that yet.
We haven't.
We'll talk
you're
after.
Right.
let's go to what the BET?
Yeah.
Or how about bet on it?
Bet
I don't know.
It.
Something like that. Yeah. we'll keep throwing
bets.
Ideas. Place
you
your bets.
You can watch this on BET Plus, by the way, in addition to Hoopla.
Oh, good.
Good to know.
Any questions that we still had that we'd love some answers to? Alonzo, what are you wondering?
Oh, golly. Well, I'll tell you, here's one thing. You know what there are a lot of books about? The history of black fashion. Do you know what book does not exist? The History of Black Fashion and Jewelry Design, which is the book that Devin gives her at the end of this movie. And I know it doesn't exist, A, because I looked it up, and B, because that cover looks like it was created in Photoshop in about 2 minutes. Because there's not a single image on the cover. It's just like, you know, white text on a black square. The other thing I kept thinking about was, you know, when at the end when they're trying to find him, and she's like, well, you know, it's Chicago Christmas. Where else would he go? My first thought was not the stand-up, the pop-up hot dog stand by the ice skating rink, but the back alley where all the Christmas events take place in Sensibility and Snowman. I kind of hope they were going to like bump into Aaron Krakow
hat.
Luke McFarlane.
That hat.
That's right.
Get you some snowman ties or whatever.
My headphone popped off.
This is good stuff.
It's a thing where it can come undone and become wireless, and it's not in this case. And so.
And now it's looking great. It looks even better. Yeah.
Now I'm good.
Good.
Here's mine. If you are ready for it, track with me here. RJ hanging out with the bad guys. Devin comes in. He's like, I hid the jewels. Devin and RJ had already planned on the fake credit cards and bringing in the Russian mob. So my question is, why break the window and take the jewels? Why was that a necessary step to break the window?
To even leave the dance, so you could just go and like hide them somewhere.
Why break the window and take the jewels? Why was that a necessary step? Because now they have to replace the window.
Well, you think it was just a key? It would be too obvious that it was him, I guess.
No, but my point is, their whole plan was to bring in the Russian mob and be out. There was no point of taking the jewel in the first place.
That is a very good question.
I for me, the only reason you would do it is so the big bad guy who has no Christmas trees in his lair, so he would know that it happened.
Yeah, that's the only plausible. Like, hey, sense. Just in case he's listening to the police scanners. I'll do the break in actually,
or if he wanted to go do it himself, you know.
Mine was pretty straightforward, which is and it may have happened and I missed it. Did Preston apprehend the Russian mob? Like, did they get arrested, or is the Russian mob still free with fake credit card numbers?
I believe they got arrested.
They did.
Yes.
Yes, because everybody else was dead.
Yeah, everyone was dead. They said it really fast.
The bodies hit the floor in this movie.
Preston sums it up really quickly. He's like, we got there. The bodies were dead, and as we were running in, they were running out. The mob was, so we got them.
Perfect.
So that's what
the entire Russian mob.
Yes.
Well, then this movie's airtight. I don't know what I was talking about.
That's what they were banking on when they did the fake credit cards.
Yeah.
Giving the Russian mob, they were like, well, our one thing we can hope for is that they kill everyone, and then the cops get there. Like, and then we're good, right?
Jiminy Christmas.
So let's just take a leap of faith and give them the fake credit cards.
People are going to be murdered. That's the hope.
But at that point, give them real ones.
That's right.
Like, I don't know. There's a lot that could go wrong there.
It seems like an unnecessary risk to give them fake credit cards.
Right.
Give them a few real ones.
Right.
Just to sprinkle in a couple.
Every year we ask, why aren't there more like movies and mysteries that are set at Christmas? And I think this might be the answer.
This might be it.
I think it makes me wonder more.
A little Christmas murder.
A little Christmas murder. We did, everybody. Congratulations. Alonzo, any words of wisdom in relation to murder or anything like that?
I will say this. If you are someone who is going to buy diamonds, that's never going to be me, and you are concerned about getting conflict-free diamonds, there is something called the Kimberly process, where you ask a jeweler, they should be able to answer these three questions. How can I be sure your jewelry doesn't contain conflict diamonds? Do your diamond suppliers participate in the industry's system of warranties? And can I see a copy of your company's policy on conflict diamonds? I just Googled it and found all that. But, you know, this is a thing to keep in mind if you are in the market for jewelry, which I will never be.
Well, I would say one person who never has to ask that is the guy who went to Jared.
That's right.
You know?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
He went to Jared.
You probably still need to ask Jared.
He went to Jared.
Ask Jared.
Definitely ask Jared.
100%. Yeah. And maybe that's why they can say that at the commercial, because they're like, oh, well, we know Jared's on the up and up. We asked him. We saw the papers.
So he went to Jared. That he went to Jared.
Oh, he went to Jared.
Gotcha.
There you go.
Good to know.
Shout out to Jared. Call us.
promo code DECK.
Yeah, that's exactly right. To get 10% off that, you know, $20,000 diamond.
You put that promo code in, they will do a full-scale investigation on if it's a conflict-free diamond or not.
Every kiss begins with J?
That's right. Oh, okay.
How are we, everybody? Hey. Until tomorrow when we do something else, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas!
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, that Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.